Okay.
Do you want to just give Robin a fanny? So it is. Okay, so page 61. I was actually going to do, I was thinking of doing today something on Shavuot, but I didn't because I wanted to finish this chapter because 25 is the end of this section of Tanya.
So do we.
Do you? Why?
See, last week was tough.
It might get tougher, you know.
No, you said it's...
Well, yes and no. Anyway, yeah, look, it's the whole... Tanya, Hasidus Chabad, by definition, is challenging. It's meant to be. It's not a feel-good... It's not a feel-good, you know... what's the word I'm looking for? Sort of feel-good, sort of psychological, you know, feel-good stuff. Now, parts of it are very feel-good because we've got two parts to us. Essentially, it works like this, right? We've got the animal soul and the godly soul. The animal soul needs to be put into place. The godly soul needs to be ignited. So that's why some of it sounds more inspiring than tough, and some of it sounds more tough than inspiring. But it's all inspiring, obviously. No, but okay, so... But the truth is also, what we've been doing the last few weeks, last few chapters, and today's chapter as well, really, it's all about Shavuos, so just thinking about it, because it's really about what the first two commandments mean. I am Hashem, your God, and don't have any other gods, right? It's really about the concept of what does it mean to believe in Hashem? What does the oneness of Hashem mean? What is Achdus Hashem, according to Tanya, which is much deeper and simpler and different than the sort of common, you know, there's one God, he's the only God kind of thing, right? So that's why it's okay. It's good to keep going. So... If we have time, I'll do something a little bit on Shavuos, but I don't think we'll have, because, anyway. So, this is, as I said, this is the end of the cycle of this section in Tanya, which began in chapter 18, Perek Yudches. And let's just summarize a little bit. So, very, very quickly. I mean, we did a summary last week, but let's just quickly summarize where we're up to and what he's going to do now. He's going to bring it all together kind of thing, right? So, Tanya in general, we learned in the very, very beginning, is based on a pasuk in Devarim. Meaning this part of Tanya, section 1. And the pasuk in Devarim says, Ki karov elecha hadavar mo'ed, this thing, presumably the Torah, I mean, there's a machlokes in the commentaries, is actually what hadavar hazeh, this thing, is referring to, but most professional learners referring to the Torah, meaning learning Torah and keeping mitzvahs. This thing is very easy. The word easy is not right. Probably karov means accessible, close to you. Right? You can do it. Beficha in your mouth, which means learning Torah and davening. Ubulvavcha in your heart, which is love of Hashem, fear of Hashem. And lasoisai to do it, which is really the performance of mitzvahs. Right? And the question at the very beginning of Tanya was, "How? What do you mean kikarev alecha? It's not that easy. It's not that accessible. It's actually very hard. Right? We're very tempted and we've got some inner struggle. And it's huge. Right? Especially... And this is what we explained at the very beginning of Tanya. Especially the problem is the word bilvavcha, your heart. Because at the end of the day, yeah, we can understand kind of thing how it's accessible to do mitzvahs, right? Because even if you don't want to do them, you could do them. I mean, you have the choice at the end of the day, right? Not easy, even that needs explanation. But because we have a yetzahara, but at the end of the day, we all understand that we have the power. Any person in the world will understand this concept that a person has the power to do something they don't like to do, right? Okay. The problem is more the emotion. In other words, love of Hashem, that's very, very difficult. You can't just switch it on. Or could you? I mean, that's the question, right? And Alter Rebbe said in the very beginning of Tanya, he was going to explain this, but derech arucha ukatzara, the long and short way. We have been very careful to make it very long, so, right? We've been going for a while. So the long and short way, why? Because that's the point of Hasidus Chabad, to take the long route, because ultimately that's the short route, that's the sustainable route, right? Not the short burst of inspiration, which is the short route, but that's, at the end of the day, becomes long because it doesn't always last and it's hard, right? So, but when he says long and short way, it's actually a very, very powerful concept because it is a long and short way. It's a long way and it needs a lot of learning, a lot of contemplation, a lot of thinking and so on. Okay. So Alter Rebbe began Tanya, obviously talking about the two souls, Nefesh HaBamis, Nefesh HaLakis, the idea of a tzaddik, Benyani, and Rasha, and wanted to define that. Getting to the point, where how does it become accessible, that a Benyani, tzaddikim is not for everyone, a Benyani is essentially someone who's completely committed to all Torah and mitzvahs and doesn't do anything wrong, And the Beinoni journey, as we call it, is aspiring to that and getting that mind frame. And that works also by arousing the love of Hashem. The love of Hashem, first talked about the full-blown emotional love of Hashem, then talked about the intellectual love, different types of love, and so on and so forth. But then, in Perek Yud Ches, in chapter 18, he starts a whole nother explanation. And that is about the love that already exists within ourselves, right? That's chapter 18. And that's what he wants to use that for another version of explaining why Ki Kara Velecha, why it's so accessible, why we can do it, even the love of Hashem. How come? Even though it seems very, very beyond us sometimes. And in order to do that, he started to do the following. So in Perek Yud Ches, in 18 and 19, he talked about the natural love, the hidden love, what he called the Chochmah of the Nefesh, right? Which expresses itself primarily in the area of Avodah Zarah, where we see that even throughout the ages, even Kal Shebekalim, meaning even someone who's very light on their Yiddishkeit connection, and maybe doesn't do other things, but nevertheless, when forced and when faced with the challenge of Avodah Zarah, is ready to give up their life to actually die to be a Yid, right? Where does that come from? It comes from because that ignites the Chochmah Shebenefesh, that Pintel Yid, whatever you want to call it, the part of the neshama that's just one with Hashem, has absolute emunah, that's where belief is, and is the carrier of what we call Mesiras Nefesh, right? That's it, okay. But, of course, the question, and that's in fulfillment of the two mitzvahs which were given to us. I mean, we're given 10 mitzvahs, but the two first mitzvahs that were given to us on Matan Torah and Shavuos, which is Anochi Hashem Alekecha and Lo Yilecha, which is the mitzvah to believe in Hashem and all what that means, and not to deviate from belief in Hashem. So the obvious question was, that's very nice, so we all have this hidden love, it's great, which we inherited from Avraham Avinu, but how does it relate to all the other mitzvahs, right? That was the question. So first you have to establish that we have it, and then the question is, how to relate to other mitzvahs? So in order to do that, he went to chapter 20 and 21, which was Achdus Hashem, understanding on a deeper level, what actually does it mean to believe in Hashem? What is the oneness of Hashem? Part of belief in Hashem is Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. One Hashem, one God doesn't just mean there's one God. One God means one reality, right? And explain that. By the way, there's a whole section of Tanya later on that's dedicated to that, right? The second section after this one, after chapter 53, starts a new section of Tanya called Shar HaYichud V'Emuna, the gate of oneness and faith, right? Okay, but in this section of Tanya, it's famous that 20 and 21 explained it. 20 and 21 explained it at a bit of different levels. 20 was about that the world is insignificant. It's like Hashem created the world with speech. Can you imagine with us the speech, one word in comparison to all the infinite potential words, and speech in relation to thought, thought in relation to emotion, it's all nothing, right? So therefore it's completely insignificant. That was one. But then a deeper level in chapter 21 was that we are not just about being insignificant, but actually we're really part of Hashem's reality, like the ray of the sun within the sun, right? So that was Chaf and Chavav. Then, in Chaf Beis, right, he says, well, if that's the case, anything we do, therefore, that is unrelated to Hashem and the oneness of Hashem is Klippa. It's Klippa, right? And he went into the whole thing where Klippa is the source of death, the source of not Hashem's Ratzin. He talked about the difference between Pnimius HaRatzin and Chitzonius HaRatzin, which means external will and internal will, where everything exists because of Hashem, but nevertheless, the Klippa exists, although Hashem made it exist, but it's like someone who throws a present over his shoulder. It's not what really wants, it's not his Ratzin, and therefore it's not a deeper connection with Hashem. Ratzin is only Hashem, and Hashem expresses himself through Torah and Mitzvahs, right? And that's when he went into chapter 23 and 24. In 23, he talked about Mitzvah Saseh, in other words, how we connect to Hashem, right, which is the Torah and Mitzvahs, Torah even deeper than Mitzvahs in a way, but it's all about the Pnimius HaRatzon, and anything, and Chavdal already talked about as we do this last week, is about Lo Yisaseh Averis. In other words, anything we do against Hashem puts us out of connection with Hashem, and essentially what chapter 23 and 24 are saying, that therefore every mitzvah is really Avodah Zarah. Every mitzvah disconnects you from the oneness of Hashem. Every Avera, I mean. And every mitzvah connects you to the oneness of Hashem. So every time you do a mitzvah, there's a yichud, as he calls it, there's a connection, there's a oneness between you and Hashem. Every mitzvah deepens that oneness. Every Torah that we learn deepens that oneness. And then everything we do which is against the Ratzon of Hashem, you're already taking us away from the oneness of Hashem. It really is Avodah Zarah then. Ah, the question is, how come? So you went into at the end of last week. So how come then we do it? How come we do it? We die for Avodah Zarah, but we do Avera. So he says that the Ruach Shtus. Ruach Shtus, that's the spirit of insanity, the spirit of foolishness, which does two things. First of all, we talk ourselves into it that certain things that we do will not disconnect us from Hashem like Avodah Zarah would. That in itself is a Ruach Shtus, and there's a deeper level of the Ruach Shtus, that the Ruach Shtus is a Ruach, it's a spirit which in ourselves, which covers up the hidden love. Until we face with Avodah Zarah, because that's a part of our neshama that it cannot be covered up. So therefore, they will give up our life. But the rest of it really should be the same process, but is a bit covered up by the Nefesh HaBamis, by the Ruach Shtus, by the insanity of and the foolishness of the Klippa, and therefore it prevents us sometimes from understanding that we actually, you know, at least in some form, it's also Avodah Zarah. Yeah? All right. So after all that, then he comes and he wants to now finish the concept, and he says the following. He says, therefore, Perchafe, v'zeh shakosuv. This is what it's written, he says. Now we go back to the pasuk. Ki korev eilecha hadover moed. That this thing is very accessible to you. Why? Even Bilvavcha, even if you heard from him. Why? So his basic punchline is this. Shabachol eis, shabachol sha, at any time or any moment, b'yodei shal adam, it is in the control of the person, b'rishusei, within his power, lahavir ruach shtus, to remove the ruach shtus, v'hashikho, that forgetfulness, mikirboi, uliskar ula oirer avase, and to remember, and to awaken the love l'Hashem, echot to the one God, hamesuteres bevadai bilvava belishum sofik, which is hidden within your heart without any doubt. In other words, you're not creating something new here. You're not creating something new. You are connecting something which exists. How do we know it exists? Because in Avodah Zarah, it would exist. That's clear. If you're faced with Avodah Zarah, you would do it. Even you would die for it. So it exists. Why doesn't it exist with any other mitzvah and avera? Even though there's also Anochi Hashem Elokecha Eloheinu, it's also Avodah Zarah and so on. Because there's a Ruach Shtus. So you have the power to remove that Ruach Shtus and to connect with something which is already there. Right? Zeh Shekasu Bilvavcha. That's why the Pasuk doesn't only talk about behavior. The Pasuk talks about Bilvavcha in your heart, which is the love of Hashem, the Nichlal Blogam Dechilu, which includes this in fear of Hashem, both. Hainu. What does that mean? What's love of Hashem and fear of Hashem? You love Hashem and you fear Hashem to the point, Hainu Shaloi Li Pareid Mishum Oifin, not to separate in any way Mi'chudoi Ve'achadusa Yisbara, from the uniqueness and the oneness of Hashem. That's what that love is. It's a love of Hashem that you are so connected to Hashem and you fear God so much that you are unable and you would not be disconnected from Hashem's oneness at all. And that love dictates that you would do it Afilu B'Mesiras Nefesh, even with the serious nefesh mamus, belishum tam v'seichel musa, without any logical reason. Why does he say there's no logical reason? Maybe it is logical. Maybe a person logically comes to the conclusion that he can't serve idols. He makes a point that there's not a logical love. The reason for that is because we see that it works even with people who don't have that logic. Right? By the way, that is the fundamental difference between, historically, between mesirus nefesh, of true mesirus nefesh, and supposed mesirus nefesh you find by non-Jews, right? Mesirus nefesh by non-Jews is they die for an ideal. It's a wrong ideal, it's a false ideal, but they die for an ideal. Because they have the ideal. They've been indoctrinated with that ideal. They know that ideal, whatever the case is. Mesirus nefesh of a Yid historically is even when there's no ideal. They don't have an ideal, they don't grow up like that, they don't behave like that, they don't operate like that, they don't do like that. And yet they'll still give their life because the hidden love comes to the fore, right? So what is it? It's not rational. So what is it? It's a godly nature. I mean, the word nature is funny to use the word too, but it means it's a godly instinct. It's just part of who you are. That's why we have the phrase, Yisrael ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim. Jews are believers, the sons of believers. Right? V'kol shekein, So therefore, you give up your life, right? For kol shekhen, how much more so? Therefore, we should be able to give up, not our life, but b'shviras hataivas hakala misurei misa. We should be able to give up a temptation and an urge which is much easier than dying. Right? Simple equation. That's the point, right? When we say, no, I can't do that mitzvah. Why can't you do it? I need to do that avera, right? Why? Because you're tempted, because whatever the case is, because we're social pressure or temptation or whatever the case is, right? So it's very hard, right? Is it harder than dying? No, it's easier than dying. Right? To break that temptation. So therefore, should you understand, shekarev elav adover yoiser. Therefore, it's obviously even easier lichbo yishayetzer to overcome the yetzahara in that case. What does he mean, overcome the yetzahara? Look what he says, right? Hein bebchina sumera, first of all, both with regard to not doing what's wrong. Afilu ma'avero kalo shol divrei sofer. That's an interesting phrase, he often uses it in Italian. Even a light prohibition, which is only rabbinic. Right? In other words, we have mitzvahs that daraisa, and in those mitzvahs, there are different levels of mitzvahs, right? And then we have mitzvahs derabbanan, which we're also bound for. By the way, good connection to Shavuos. We know that Seres Hadibros, Ten Commandments, have 620 letters. Do you know that? 620 letters, which is 613 mitzvahs, and we know we have 7 rabbinic mitzvahs, right? Which by extension also includes the rabbinic fences and all the things. Okay. Right? So we're able, a person has control to keep all of them and not to violate any of them. Shaloi laver al ratzon yisborach, in order not to transgress the will of Hashem. Why? Because when, as we've now learned at great length, because when we transgress the will of Hashem, ma'acha shenifrad bo misos miyichudoi ve'achdusoi. Because when we transgress the will of Hashem, doesn't matter what it's about. Could even be in a very light mitzvah d'rabbanan, a more lenient mitzvah d'rabbanan, but nevertheless, it's kamoy, you are being separate from the oneness of Hashem. Kamoy ba'avoyda zora mamash. It's mamash like avoyda zora. That's pretty... right? So let's understand this, what he means. First of all, like this, right? So we know, I'm going to talk about this in a minute on a different level, but we know there are different levels of mitzvahs, right? So I think it's also very important to understand. I mean, we can learn these laws in Tanya and say, oh, man, that's okay, so then let's give up, right? So like we explained a lot. I mean, this is not the first time this is difficult. We talked about the Benyani in general is difficult, right? It's called safer of the Benyani. He said you've got to be in control of all your thought, speech, and action and not do any avera, and do every mitzvah, okay? In fact, in the beginning of Tanya, he explained not only to do all the mitzvahs, but even the things which are neutral, only to do them for the sake of Hashem, right? None of us are reaching out anytime soon, but it's the frame, it's the mindset, and it's aspiration, and it's putting ourselves on that journey and that inspiration, right? So what he's mentioning now is a very powerful thing. And it builds a certain framework and a certain attitude. First of all, that every... going back a second. We know that in mitzvahs and Torah mitzvahs, there are different levels. There are things that are stricter, things that are less strict, even in the Torah, even the biblical mitzvahs. How do we know that? We know that from the consequences. There are certain mitzvahs in the Torah that carry, or avarice that carry capital punishment. There are certain names that carry, that's one level. Second level is that those that don't carry capital punishment, but they carry kores, which is a spiritual excision, right? Then there are those that carry malchus, lashes, whatever, different korbanos, sacrifices. There are different levels, that's a fact. There are those that are more severe, not. And even those, that, in a conscious way, the different levels also represent the severity of us being disconnected from Hashem, but the point is that although there are different levels, and that has halachic consequences, and from Hashem's point of view, in terms of how He judges, and so on and so forth, but essentially there's a common theme of every mitzvah, and the common theme of every mitzvah, even including the mitzvahs derabbanan, is that they are the will of Hashem, will of Hashem. If they're the will of Hashem, that's our pathway to connecting with Hashem. Again, Hashem's rotzen is very deep, as we learned before. The idea of rotzen, especially pnimius rotzen, what Hashem really wants, His rotzen, His will, not just, again, just to remind you about the difference between the external will and the internal will, right? So a person has a job as a plumber because he wants to feed his family. Does he want to do plumbing? Yes. Is that really his pnimius ratzon? No. He doesn't want to do plumbing. He wants to feed his family. So when he feeds his family, that's what he really wants. Doing plumbing is a... In order to feed his family, he's going to do plumbing. So, right? Okay, even that can be done. Nice, got the passion. Okay, but it's not what we call pnimius ratzon, right? Same thing, Hashem, does he give life to everything? Does he want Klippa to exist? Yes. Is that his pnimius ratzon? No. His pnimius ratzon is there should be a revelation of Hashem in a world that is full of Klippas, but he wants revelation, he wants connection, he wants oneness with us. Right? So every mitzvah, no matter what it is, an expression of Hashem's ratzon. Ratzon is very deep. It means ratzon is different than like I have emotions, I have chesed, I have gvura. That's things I have, that's not me. Ratzon is more an expression of me. That's why mitzvahs are ratzon. Mitzvah means mitzvahs are they're manifestations of Hashem. And there's no difference in one mitzvah and another. Or one aver another, right? Every mitzvah we do, we're connecting to the oneness of Hashem. No matter what, the mitrabana and the rice, it doesn't make a difference. Right? And every violation of the mitzvah that we experience is disconnecting us from Hashem. Now, that's such an important thing. Like in Hasidus in general, and particularly in my education, observing Hasidim, true Hasidim, in other words, all the Hasidim, really, the real Makoi people, right? There was never such a thing. I once had a person ask me, so I and it comes, just to bring out what I mean. So a person once asked me, who didn't have this mindset, so it was Sukkos, and I spend quite a bit of money on my lulav and esrog. I try to get a beautiful esrog. That sounds brought up. That's what my father did. And it's love of a mitzvah. You try to do what you can, right? So someone asked me, it was one time it was Sukkos that was Shabbos and Sunday. Now, I don't know if you know this, but the biblical mitzvah of shaking lulav and esrog is only biblical on the first day of Sukkos. Right? In terms of the Beis HaMikdash, they didn't do it all week. Only, it was only done all week in the Beis HaMikdash. But not everywhere else. Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and the Sanhedrin made a mitzvah in order to remember the Beis HaMikdash that we should do lulav every day. So from day two, shaking lulav and esrog is a rabbinic mitzvah. So I remember once I was having a discussion with someone about the esrog and the esrog. I didn't find it, if it's nice, not nice. He says, no, this year you don't have to be so careful, it's only a rabbinic mitzvah. I thought, to me, it was like such a strange, what do you mean it's only a rabbinic mitzvah? Such a mitzvah, what's the difference? Right? And that's, I'm saying, it's an important thing. Like, so we careful. Now, there are levels of mitzvahs. What does that mean? Okay, that's part of Hashem's will. So, for example, all halachas that make it lenient when it's a misrabana, but not in terms of attitude and passion, in terms of halachics. So, for example, if someone, I'll give you just a quick example, right? If someone is sick on Shabbos, not dangerously ill, but there's a category of illness called chayla she'ein bo sakana. He's sick, meaning he's bedridden, or he feels flu-y, or he's like sick, right? But there's no danger. So you can't break Shabbos to that person. The halacha is you could break Shabbos on a rabbinic level. So let's say a person is feeling like, I'll give you an example. I mean, it's happened to me. I mean, it's happened to my family, right? Let's say a person is really, I don't know, got a temperature, they got flu. It's obviously a flu. They caught a virus from someone. It's not dangerous, not very obvious. But they're in bed, they're bedridden, and they're really uncomfortable. And there's no Panadol in the house. So there's no, right? You're allowed to go to a store and buy. Even though there's no danger. Why? Because essentially, at least in Sydney or most places, there's not a public domain, there's very little, there's only rabbinic violation. First of all, carrying is an Eruv, but even if it wasn't, it wouldn't really be a public domain. Transaction on Shabbos, buying something, is a rabbinic thing. Even handling money is a bit, okay, you could do it with a shinui maybe, but you're allowed to do it. But you're not allowed to break Shabbos, biblically. Does that mean rabbinic is less important than biblical? No. It's built into the halacha. The halacha was made like that. The will of Hashem is that here you can do it and this you can't do. That's all. It's not that the mitzvah is less important. That's why you can do it. Oh, you can break the unimportant stuff. That's not why it works. It's you can do what halacha tells you to do. Halacha is the will of Hashem. Halacha says you cannot break Shabbos biblically for this person, but you could rabbinically. So then you can do it. If the person is really uncomfortable, you need to help him. You can do it. If halacha says that, then that's the will of Hashem. I mean, you could be strict, but that wouldn't be good because, I mean, you can't make someone uncomfortable because you want to be strict. Well, halacha says you're not strict, right? So that's the will of Hashem. It's different. It doesn't make it any less important. Am I Making sense? Okay. Now, so that's what he says. Okay. Now he adds something very interesting. He says, So therefore, a person is able to control his Yetzirah, not to be disconnected from Hashem, even by doing something that is against Hashem only in a very rabbinic mitzvah, right? Why? Because Shenifrad Machdus says, Baruch my Vodazara, Mamash Shach Maiseh. Because you come and you disconnect from Hashem just like a Vodazara. So every mitzvah, every Aver is like a Vodazara or a Munah. Doesn't matter what kind of mitzvah it is. Now, so now he's gonna say something, and it really is meant to be a question and an answer. Okay. So the question is still not 100% understood. Why? Because you could ask the following question. Okay, let's say Chas v'Shalom, I do an aver that's only rabbinic. Okay. So I'm disconnected to myself from Hashem like a Vodazara. And therefore I should overcome my Yetzirah, and it's much, much easier than dying, right? So I should overcome the flesh. Fine. But maybe it's not like a Vodazara at the end of the day. Why? Because like this. If a person does a mitzvah, or an Avera, that is just rabbinic, let's say. No, let's not an Avera, just because it's easy to bring it up. Let's say a person saying, I'm going to overcome the battle because I'm going to do the mitzvah, and I'm not going to do the Avera because I don't want to be disconnected from Hashem, right? But let's say you didn't, you fell through, so you did it, right? So you did the Avera. If it's a rabbinic mitzvah, or even if it's a mitzvah saseh, it's actually much easier to do tshuva. The disconnection from Hashem doesn't have to last. When you're doing it, you're disconnected from Hashem, right? That's true. But I could do tshuva. Now, you could argue, therefore, that's why I'm not so careful like Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah is much harder to do tshuva. Avodah Zarah, first of all, is an avera that's koris, right? There are certain avera, that's why, also chametz and Pesach, that's called, everyone's very strict. Why? Because it's koris, right? You chametz and Pesach, it's very severe. And therefore, when you do an avera that's koris, it's harder to do tshuva, maybe, right? And we do find in the Gemara Yuma that there are certain things that are harder to do tshuva than and other things, and they go in levels of mitzvahs, right? So why are you saying that, and therefore, there's a greater chance that it could last, that the disconnection of Hashem will last more than that very mid-Rabbana, right? So he needs to make sure that that question is not there. So what does he say? He says, otherwise the flow wouldn't make sense. I'm just explaining what the commentaries of Tanya explain, right? He says, don't come and tell me that it's different because there at the last and here at once. Tshuva you can do for everything. Might be harder, but you can do tshuva for any other. Right? Now, the next few lines, the Rebbe has at the back of Tanya a thing that he did where there's obvious mistakes. Tanya was originally written just in informal manuscripts, and then it was printed. And because of the whole way he used to work in those days, there were mistakes that happened. And the Rebbe has the whole thing. So there he says, it's actually supposed to be a bracket. So I want to just run through this bracket. You see the dot there? You can do tshuva, right? And then he says, not only you can do tshuva, he says, in brackets, which in invisible brackets, it's just with the dot. Even though the Gemara says, if a person says, you know what, I'm going to do a sin, and then I'm going to do tshuva right away. So the Gemara seems to say, must speak in full, they won't let you do tshuva. Hashem is going to block tshuva, right? He says, no. It's a famous thing in Tanya. That means Hashem is not going to provide easy opportunities for you to do tshuva. But if you really try hard and you do tshuva, there's nothing that stands in the way of tshuva. Nothing, ever. Therefore, this argument that maybe one disconnection of Hashem will last longer in one mitzvah over another mitzvah is not true. Because everything you do, you can do tshuva for. Nevertheless, when it comes to Avodah Zarah, he continues now, Afal Pikein, nevertheless, called Ish Yisrael, Mukhan, Mezuman, Livsa, Nafshi, Agdush, Hashem. Nevertheless, we find that a Yidin were ready to give up their life for Hashem, to make a Kiddush Hashem, Shaloy Lishtachvaz, Avodah Zarah, not to bow down to Avodah Zarah, Afilu Lefisha, even if it's momentarily, even for one moment, V'las is tshuva achakach, and even though they know they were able to do tshuva afterwards, and nevertheless they wouldn't do it. So therefore, a yid doesn't want to become this avodah zarah and this mesiras nefesh that ignites this hidden love for Hashem. that makes a person give up his life for not to be connected to Avodah Zarah, that's even momentarily Avodah Zarah, and even if he plans to do tshuva afterwards. But still he wouldn't do it. But Avodah Zarah he wouldn't do it. Right? Why? V'hainu b'pnei sh'ayr Hashem ha'malubash b'nafshim kanal sh'ayinu b'chinu zman v'shok klal elamayla mazam v'shal tomar shalav kanoida. Because he knows that in his neshama there shines this light of Hashem, which is in your neshama. Now, this concept works both ways. We'll see in a second. It works in a good way also. But because he knows that when he disconnects from Hashem for one moment, we're talking about Avodah Zarah, right? He knows if he disconnects from Hashem for one moment, even if after he does tshuva, that moment is a moment in time here, but it's an infinity there. Because Hashem is higher than time. Right? Hashem is higher than time. So if he wouldn't do it, so if he wouldn't do it by Avodah Zarah, we have the power not to do it by any other. Even if it's a drabbanan, a weak drabbanan. And that's why it's koravelach, that's why it's accessible to us. Because it's already in our neshama, that ability. Just what? There's a ruach tus. So you have to work to remove that ruach tus. Easy said than done, but that's the point. Koravelach means, the word koravelach in the pasuk means it's accessible to you, it's in you. You have it within you, it's actually who you are. Really. Yeah. Then he says, now he switches, he says, that was with regard to not doing bad. But he says, also do mitzvahs. Also with regard to doing good. We have the power, every person has the power, to be strong like a lion. You know, the Shulchan Aruch begins with that. It's a prick of this, that you should get up like a lion, right? In other words, the strength to serve Hashem. So we have the strength to be strong like a lion, but gevura v'oymetz alev, the strength of the heart, neged hayetzer, against the yetzer. What does the yetzer do? Amachpi de segufoi. He makes heavy the body. Umapil olav etzla, and he induces a laziness. Mepchinas yisoyda offer from the foundation of dust. Remember, we learned that in the second chapter, right? Shebenefesh abamis. And a person, therefore, he resists melhatriach nafshoi to bother his body. He doesn't want to bother his body. This is very common today, right? People like to be bothered and be uncomfortable. But he's resists with some sort of alacrity to carry a load. Bavodes Hashem, right? Yes, it's taka hard. It is a load. It's hard work serving Hashem. Gagon, for example, limoil b'toyra be'iyun u'bepeh. To actually toil in learning Torah with great intention, with great depth, or with your mouth, like pasuk from Megillah, not to stop learning, and so on, right? K'maymer Hazal, like Hazal tell us, he says, La'olam yosim odam atzmi al divrei Torah k'sher la'ovach hamor la'masa. A person should learn Torah like he is a donkey carrying a very big load. What does that mean? Not we're supposed to be negative about it. It means if you're only learning the easy stuff and you're not ready to actually get under the load, you're not really learning properly, right? Proper learning Torah means learn hard stuff. The chayim b'tfilah, same thing with davening. The kavanah, to have intention, b'chol koyach mamash, all your heart. The chayim b'avodas Hashem b'dovrei mamon, other ways of serving Hashem, like with money, and going to avoid the tzedakah, like giving tzedakah, k'yotze v'elu. In lochemes ha'yotze, there's great wars with the Yetzirah with this, the tachmul oisem, and all the schemes of the Yetzirah. L'karei nefesh ha'odlam shloi l'hafki mamonai, a person, the Yetzirah tells a person, no, don't overspend, be responsible. Make sure you put away for the, you know, for your seventh generation, right? Or don't be, well, don't work too hard. It's not healthy. All this stuff, right? He says, "Lamoy negdoy, to stand against this, for lichpoish, and to conquer this, korov ma'oid el adam." It's very accessible to the person. Keshe yosi meliboy, when you pay attention to this fact that lenatzeach hayetzer b'chol zeh. That to overcome the Yetzirah in all of this, whether it's to learn Torah properly, or to daven with kavana, or to get out of bed, or to overcome an indulgence or a temptation, whatever the case is, or to give tzedakah, all of this is, and even more, and to do the opposite that the Yetzirah wants you to do, is still kal ma'oid mi'isurei misa Hashem mishmureinu. It's still easier than the suffering of death. And we know, again, he says the same point, that v'yisurei misa Hashem yishmereinu, and that suffering, hayam akabel ba'avarot, so you would accept it, you would do it. Shloi li porig mi'chude v'yisbarach afil l'sha'a l'shtach l'avay d'zorach ha'shalom. You would do it if it was involved the Yetzirah, if it involved avay d'zorach, even for a moment. How much more so you have to accept it with love and with will, in order to cleave to Hashem permanently, right? And so on and so forth. Now, I just want to make a point before we continue, because I want to make sure we finish the concept here, right? And that is, obviously, when we talk about that we do an Avera, it's negative, it's like Avodah Zarah, right? So first of all, we learn these things, a couple of things. First of all, we learn these things in Tanya, we have to apply it to ourselves, not to other people. Right? That's part one, right? Other people, we have a very clear dictum in the Pirkei Avos, don't judge another person, okay. But the idea of learning it is that we really need to take it and apply it to ourselves in whatever journey we are. Second of all, obviously, we talk about, I mean, it's very sharp, this is a very, very sharp thesis, this, right? That every Avera person does Avodah Zarah. I mean, that's like heavy duty, right? Now, obviously, it's not halachic Avodah Zarah. In the time of the temple, you wouldn't get capital punishment for touching Muktzah on Shabbos or whatever, right? But nevertheless, the concept is Avodah Zarah, right? And it's a very strong concept, but it's meant to be a strong concept, meant to be developing a mindset. But obviously, that's not true when it comes to people who don't know better, right? And that goes back to the famous idea that we have this concept of the captured child, the Tinuk Shenishba, and people who grew up not knowing the significance or the strictness or the severity of these things. Obviously, that's not the case. You cannot call Avodah Zarah, right? And that enforces the thing that I'm saying about we need to take this to ourselves, not to apply it to other people, right? So we don't look at other Yidden, particularly Yidden who didn't grow up with any sort of education, and even those that did, but not a proper education, whatever, all different things, we don't look at them as idol worshippers, right? That's not the point here. And there might be people who are very, very strong in the belief of Hashem, but don't understand this idea. So one could ask the question, well, maybe we shouldn't understand this idea. Maybe ignorance is bliss, right? But obviously that's not true, because when we understand the depth of what's going on here, who wouldn't want to be connected to Hashem, right? So we don't want to do anything that's even... Like even let's say someone didn't know that serve a desire, like serve an idol was a mistake, right? Okay, I mean, that's obviously hardly... It's a practical thing. Everyone knows it's not wrong, but it's still a desire. At the end of the day, it's still a desire. So obviously you'd want to educate ourselves and you want to educate others. So the more we learn about it, the better. But I'm just saying that we need to understand how we look at someone else and look at ourselves. That's different, right? So look at ourselves, we can be a bit tough on ourselves. But when we look at other people, it's a little bit different. And also, of course, being tough on ourselves, obviously, again, it's a journey, right? But the journey has to be accentuated or powerfully driven by this mindset. So obviously a person, let's say, who's growing, and we're all growing, and we're all trying to grow, we're all trying to do the right thing, right? And if we have some sort of intellectual honesty, and we're a little bit, you know, we think, you know, we know something that we should be taking the next step, and we're not, we're a bit lazy, and we kind of think it's not so important, maybe, you know, such a small thing, I could delay it, that kind of thing. That's where this comes in. Like, what do you mean you could delay it? It's part of the Ratzon of Hashem. So get, you know, push yourself a little bit. But obviously it doesn't mean taking on upon ourselves everything, right? If someone, you know, that just doesn't work. It's all about the journey. But it's a journey with this mindset. Now, sorry?
The idols are not so much outside of us as they're Nefesh HaBamis.
Following the Nefesh HaBamis.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they're outside of us in terms of the behavior that results in.
But so often, if we tarry, for example, in a mitzvah, it's because our Nefesh HaBamis is there. Or if we...
Yeah, but as well as to us, I mean...
That's right.
We take us... Correct, but that's our avodah to get rid of the ego. Ego is avodah zarah. That's exactly what ego is. It's making room for something other than Hashem. That's what ego is.
And so most of the reasons we sin or we don't do mitzvah are actually not. It's your example from Russia that you gave last week. It's the pressure is not from the outside.
Correct. Nowadays, it's not from outside.
Yeah.
Which makes it harder, but not easier.
Correct.
That's why the mesiris nefesh that we, yes, that's the distinction. Even though he makes the argument here, come on, you would die for this, so why can't you live with it? So that's an argument we have to convince ourselves, but it's not so apparent, it's not so clear. When you get a gun next to you and say, you know, renounce Yiddishkeit, I'm going to shoot you, that's clear. So you fight it, you mesiris nefesh. and also it ignites the Yechidah Shebenefesh, and removes the Ruach Shtus. But over here it doesn't. Even though it's not logical, that's why it's called the Ruach Shtus. The logic is what he's saying. Well, if you would die for it, so why can't you just put a bit of effort for it, right? That is a logic. But we also know there's a Ruach Shtus, which you have to work with. And that's why it's difficult. And that's the point, right? Now, makes a very, very important, I'm going to do this outside now, because I want to just explain this point. So, let's say a person is working with this, right? And I think is what he's trying to address now. A person is working with this. So he does this mitzvah, right? Now, because now he's talking about not so much doing the aveira, he's talking about doing the mitzvah, right? So what I do the mitzvah, I'm creating a oneness with Hashem, right? When I do an aveira, I'm creating a separation with Hashem. I'm doing a mitzvah, I'm creating a oneness with Hashem, right? But how about then in the next 5 minutes, I do something wrong? So what's happened with that now? In other words, I said it's a journey, but is there any point in the journey? Like, you know, we keep messing it up. Like we'll do a mitzvah, we'll pick up a little bit of an ashtray and shake it. We'll put on whatever, we'll light Shabbos candle, we'll put on tefillin, whatever the case is. And then 5 minutes later, we'll do something that's avodah zarah, essentially, according to what he's explaining here, right? Or to use his example of here, he says, we'll just do something completely ungodly, like talk nonsense and not learn Torah, even though we had the opportunity to do it, right? So what's happened with that? So he makes a point that he made before, but here makes it a positive, and that's such an important thing. So when it comes to not doing something wrong, what we have to try and remind ourselves of, that it's not just a moment, it's an eternity. That's what we said before, right? But we also have to understand, even more so, because a negative something is not really eternal. It might belong to a world that transcends time. When we talk about the positive of doing a mitzvah, and this makes a very, very important tip, right? I'll just read you the word. It says, "V'yichud ze l'maylo nitzki l'olam void." This bond, this oneness that we created between us and Hashem, we do a mitzvah. In this world, maybe it only lasted a minute, but in the upper world, it's forever. It's an eternal mitzvah. Right?
And there isn't.
So we have to look at it. That's got some infinity to it, but that's why we should never argue that it's just for a moment. And I'm going back to, right? Because you do have to do tshuva. It will last. But, so it can be undone. That's the word. It can be undone through tshuva.
What happens if you regret a mitzvah?
That's an interesting question, but the Rambam talks about it. So on a halachic level, that's a problem. Undermine the mitzvah that way. I don't think on a spiritual problem it is. Right? From a judgment point of view, like a halachic judgment point of view, in tshuva it does. But, right? But a mitzvah is mamash eternal. A mitzvah is a yichud. Oneness of Hashem is completely eternal. Which is why we treasure even the one mitzvah, right? Which, by the way, in the Rebbe's world, really became the basis of a lot of the whole outreach program of doing one mitzvah, right? The Rebbe's chidush, so to speak, in outreach was not just about bringing people to be engaged more in Yiddishkeit. His chidush was, if you see a person, you'll never see him again, and he'll never see you again, or not do any other mitzvah in his whole lifetime, that one time you put on tefillin with him is gewaldig, right? There was a Purim, you can hear it online, you can hear it on recording, where in 1956, where the Rebbe had a Purim for Brengen, and there were a few years where the Rebbe said a lot of L'chaim for the Purim for Brengen, and only came out with deeper things and more structure. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, that's a separate discussion. But you could tell that it was hard for the Rebbe to speak towards the end of for Brengen, even though it was completely coherent and completely structured, it was very deep, but the physical effects, you could tell, right? So there's a Rebbe that ever made a thing. He was talking about this, about how about a Yid is connected to Hashem and all that. And he quoted this Tanya, and he was saying, you could hear him say, Yichud Zelem. He said like this, when a Yid tut a mitzvah. He said, when a Yid does a mitzvah. It was very profound. It was a very emotional way he was saying it. Like, even one time, he quoted that it's Yichud Zelem. This oneness of Hashem is Nitzki L'Olam Void. It's eternal, forever. And Hashem, you said in Yiddish, the Eibishter Chachkitzach, the Eibishter plays, and he like, I don't know what you say in English, he's like treasures and plays with almost the mitzvah. He loves the mitzvah that was there, and it's an eternal mitzvah, right? Okay. So that's even more so when And there's no messing up with that mitzvah, particularly when you're talking about someone, when you go talk to a yid that doesn't do any Torah mitzvahs because he never learned, right? His mamash the captured child, right? So there's no down, it's only up. You do a mitzvah within, the mitzvah stays, right? The stuff that he doesn't do, or the averis does, is really not going to mess us up at all, actually, right? But he does make the point here that the oneness through that mitzvah will always stay. But you are undermining your general connection with Hashem by doing things afterwards that are wrong, right? Yeah. So he says that's why tshuva is such a constant thing. And that's why we have three, that's why he makes the point, that's why there's three Shmoneh Esrei, three Amidahs each day. And everyone, it's an interesting thing, right? You think about it. Why? Like we constantly do tshuva. I mean, if we stop and think about the words we're saying, right? Every weekday Amidah, three times a day, we say, Slach lana v'nakichatanu. Forgive me because we've sinned. B'chal l'goshanu, right? Because there are certain mitzvahs that are very hard to do the whole time. And you have to be on a very big level to actually fully be in control of them. Like he gives an example, for example, and this is probably halachically mostly for men, I guess, because they have an obligation to learn, right? A woman has a mitzvah to learn, but it's not such a bad thing when they don't learn. You understand? Because it's... But a man has a mitzvah to learn. A man suppose he has a mitzvah that every spare moment we should be learning. Right? That's what the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, V'dibar Tamam. Not just about learning every day. It's if you have time, if you have spare time, you should be learning. No? There's only a few people in history that we say about them that they never stop learning. Rav David HaMelech and Rabbah and so on, right? So that's why we have the constant... And we don't do it inadvertently. We never meant to rebel at Hashem. No one means it. So it's not even, when we don't learn, it's not even like, I'm going to sin and I'm going to do tshuva. It's not a conscious thing. It's just hard, right? So he says, that's why, it's a very interesting perspective. He says, that's why, especially with the mitzvah saseh, that we know it's easy to do tshuva, you have to say to Hashem, you're really sorry and you want to try better. That's why we keep on saying sorry, we keep on doing tshuva every day. What that does, not only gives us forgiveness for the things that we're not doing, it strengthens the oneness that we created through that mitzvah. I did a mitzvah now, and then for the next 8 hours I didn't learn, and then I did another mitzvah, or then I did tshuva. But that's long. But what happened to the mitzvah 8 hours ago? But it doesn't matter, because the 8 hours ago mitzvah is eternal. So it shines again. Although when I do tshuva for the stuff I'm messing up a little bit, it's still there. The mitzvah is still there. Right? It's a beautiful concept. This, in other words, the mitzvah is still there. The oneness you created is still there. You've now clouded it a bit and camouflaged it a bit by doing something that's separating you from Hashem. But that didn't actually remove the mitzvah. And that's when you do tshuva, not only are you doing tshuva for the stuff you didn't do right, you're now actually strengthening the things you did do right. So you're reconnecting to them. Right? That's what he says. And finally in the perek, he says that this is why at the end of in Book of Dvarim, right? When Moshe Rabbeinu was sending the Jewish people into Egypt, into Israel, I mean. Yeah? And they were going to go into land when it was going to be a little bit more materialistic and they had to work and all that kind of stuff, right? What did he teach in the Book of Dvarim? Where do we encounter the Shema? Only in Dvarim, right? It wasn't given in Har Sinai. The Shema came later. Shema was 40 years later. The midst of Shema. We're saying Shema every day, right? So Moshe Rabbeinu tells him you have to say Shema every day. Why? Because he says, what is Shema? Shema is about Emunah. And Shema really is about accepting upon ourselves the concept of Mesiras Nefesh. When we say in Shema, we say we acknowledge the oneness of Hashem. Now we have a deep understanding of what oneness of Hashem actually means. And then we say, V'ehavta Hashem Elokecha, you should love Hashem your God, with the entire heart, with the entire being, even with the entire soul. Which, by the way, we learn out Kiddush Hashem from there. We learn Mesiras Nefesh from that pasuk. Like the three cardinal sins that you have to give up your life for, we learn it from B'chol Nafshecha, especially Avodah Zarah. You have to serve with your whole soul. Always give up your soul if you have to, right? Now, so why are we saying it every day? Why did Moshe Rabbeinu tell them when they're going to Eretz Yisrael have to do this? Avodah Zarah came later, was a big epidemic, but then it wasn't. He's saying, no, Mesiras Nefesh you have to have for everything. Not dying, but overcoming yourself, overcoming your Yetzer Hara. And that's what he was saying. So he told us, Ki Korei Ve'Lecha Adav Amoed. He said, this is all very accessible to you with all your heart and everything. But how are you going to do it? Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. You have to have a serious nefesh. Okay, everyone should have a very good Yom Tov. We are not going to have a shiur next week, obviously, because it's Tuesday Shavuos. But we'll start the week after the new section of Tanya and Mitzvah. What's that?
Thank you.
Welcome.